Well, this summer, Connie and I learned that, Lord willing, at the end of February, we will be first-time grandparents. And thank you. The credit goes to my daughter. And she happens to be here, both my daughters, one from California as well. But I've been thinking, as a result of that, of us being first-time grandparents, I've been thinking about what I will leave to those who will follow after me. And how will my life be viewed by my posterity at the completion of my time here on earth? With that said, Ipsy Free, on this last Sunday of 2018, I would like to discuss the subject of legacy. The subject of legacy. What do you hope your legacy will be when your time is completed here on earth? Now, I can hear someone saying, I don't care about my legacy. I'm just trying to make it from day to day. And I get that. But the truth is that others will be impacted by your legacy. Namely, spouses, children, grandchildren, family, and friends. So let me ask you again. What do you hope your legacy will be after you pass from this life unto the next? The reason I'm raising this question at this time is because we all need to be reminded that life is brief. The reality is, there may be someone in this very room that will not live to see 2019, which, as we all know, is just about 24 hours away. That's a sobering thought. Well, Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. So you know how on an obituary, they have the deceased date of birth, then they have a dash followed by the date of death. Since we all know that everyone has a beginning and an ending, what I want to challenge us this morning is, what will that dash look like between your starting date and your ending date as others view it in the future? It's that dash I want us to think about this morning. Again, one's legacy, if you will. Earlier this month, the 41st president of these United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, was eulogized by his son and namesake George W. Bush. And what kept coming up to the forefront as friends and families were interviewed about his life was his love for his family, married to his beloved Barbara for 73 years, service to his country. He served in World War II, and his desire for peace. Folks, we're talking about his legacy. Now, the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The Apostle Paul has settled in his mind how his legacy would look, that dash, if you please. So I want to assume this morning, because I know many of you, we've interacted on many occasions. I want to assume this morning by suggesting three legacies I hope we all will embrace. The first legacy is a grateful legacy, a grateful legacy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 states, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that's pretty clear and self-explanatory. So you say you want to do God's will, and most, if not all of us here in this room, would say that. Well, here is God's will according to what we just read. In everything, give thanks. That's plain and simple. One need not have a seminary degree to understand that. Have you ever met someone that always complains? Never is grateful? Or put another way, do you know someone who is known for their whining? You know, you want to get out the violin, don't you, when they start telling you their tale of woes and just start playing the violin as they tell you? Do you know people that live by the Murphy Law? If anything can go wrong, it will. Always critical, never giving the benefit of the doubt to others. The cup is always half empty, never half full. We all know individuals like that. They change the whole atmosphere in the room by their very presence, don't they? And not for the better. In other words, whining and complaining people are contagious. So just as whining and complaining people are contagious, so are happy, cheerful ones as well. Quite frankly, FC Free, I would much rather be around a happy, cheerful, grateful person than a grouchy one any day. It's something about grateful people that draw you to them. Now, I'm not trying to make light of problems because, let's face it, we all have problems. We all have difficulties in life. If you've lived long enough, you've had some difficulties. But here, Job is the poster child for difficult living. You remember the story, lost all of his children, lost all of his property. Later on, he lost his health. And then, to put cream on the cake, his wife said, "Hey, why don't you curse God and die?" What did Job say? Job said, "Naked I came into this world, naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." Listen to this. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then it said, in all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. As we are on the verge of a new year, let me encourage you to find something daily to be grateful for. If I can share with you a personal example in my own life, I started a practice that I heard about last year. It's called a thanks journal, a thanks journal. And as the name suggests, I write down something every morning to be thankful for. It can be as simple as thanks for a good night's rest. You do know that's a blessing, because there's a lot of people that toss and turn all night long and never get a wink of sleep. Luke 17, starting at verse 11, is the story of the 10 leopards. Many of you scholars know the story. 10 men, disease of leprosy, a contagious disease to be sure, kept from the general public because of that, saw Jesus coming along, cried out to Jesus. Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And the scripture says, as they went, they were what? They were healed. It said one. Now, remember, it was 10. One looked and said, "Wow, Brother Ty, I'm whole again." Turned around, never made it to the priest, ran back to Jesus, and in a loud voice, the scripture said, he praised God and gave thanks. Jesus, looking at this guy at his feet, and said, "Hey, dude." Now, dude is not in the Bible, okay? So that's my paraphrase, okay? "Hey, dude, were there not 10 that were healed? And you, crying out loud, a foreigner, comes back to thank me?" He said, rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. Let me challenge all of us, including yours truly, to be that one that comes back to give thanks to God for his many, many blessings. In other words, let's develop a grateful attitude as we're on the verge of a new year, which will lead to a grateful legacy someday. But secondly, I hope we all will want to develop a giving legacy. In Acts 20, verse 35, it states, thank you. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Now, Luke 38, which is not on your screen, says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows generously will what? Reap generously. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. These are just three scriptures of many scriptures that talk about giving. From just these three verses, we see that the Word of God challenges us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be givers. Well, after all, that's God's nature, isn't it? To give. John 3:16 says as much when it says, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you recall, Jesus gave food to hungry multitudes. He gave wine at a wedding. He gave healing to the sick. And yes, he gave life to the dead. Folks, that's the short list. But the point is that Jesus is extravagant in his giving. Now, most times when we think of giving, we think of it in terms of money, don't we? And I get it. Some people just don't have the money to give. So let me suggest to you that giving can take many forms, as I shared with you earlier from Jesus' life. For instance, giving of your time can be a great way to leave a giving legacy. Volunteering your time by helping others, say, through our Grow You program here at the church can be a great way of developing a giving legacy. Or one can give of their talents, such as through the worship team ministry, the hospitality ministry, the connection team, the tech team, are all just a few examples of leaving a godly legacy. Sharing encouraging words, Ipsy Free, with someone who needs them can be a powerful way of giving. You know, speaking life over people, not death. Encouraging people to go on in their journey with Christ. In other words, it doesn't need to cost monetarily you anything to give. What we're saying here is, Ipsy Free, if you're in a position to help somebody, do it by giving of your time, talents, and or resources. Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 14? The story goes like this. A master calls three of his servants together, gave one five talents, you know the story, one, two talents, and one talent. Here's the highlight here. According to their what? Ability. It said he went on a journey. The guy with the 5 talents, what? Got 5 more. The one with the 2 talents got what? 2 more. The one with the 1 talent, it said, he found a place, Brother Mitch, where there was some dirt. Dug it up, put the 1 talent in, packed it down so nobody would mess with it, and went on his way. Well, the master showed up suddenly. Master came, called the 3 back together again. The one with the 5 said, hey, you gave me 5 talents. How about 10 for you? The master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one with the 2 talents said, hey, you gave me 2 talents. I'm going to give you back 4. With a smile on his face, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That gave the guy with the 1 talent time, Brother Scott, to dig that one up and get his 1 talent back and say, hey, here's the 1 talent you gave me. I know that you reap where you don't sow and you gather where you don't harvest. So here is your 1 back. What was his response? His whole continent changed. He said, you lazy, no good dude. Now, you're not going to find that in the Bible either, okay? That's my paraphrase. You're lazy. Why didn't you take the 1 that I've given you, if nothing else, Brother Scott, and put it in Chase Bank and get some interest off of it? Now, Chase Bank is not in the Bible, too. I mean, I got to tell people this, okay? So you won't be looking for Chase Bank. In other words, he's saying you should have brought me something additional, but you didn't. And so he took the 1 from that guy and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. You see, this parable reminds us all that we're given something by God according to our ability to use for the benefit of others. Yes, there's many ways to leave a legacy of giving in addition or besides monetarily if you don't have the financial resources. This is what our pastor, lead pastor Steve, has been sharing with us for the past 4 Sundays. Don't just do Christmas, but what? Be Christmas. And one of the ways we could be Christmas is to what? To give. Because when one thinks of Christmas, they should think, among other things, of giving. So as we're facing a new year, may I suggest to you to develop a giving legacy. A giving legacy. But third and finally, I hope everyone here under the sound of my voice would desire to develop a godly legacy. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. You see, the Apostle Paul's experience with Christ was so tremendous that it transformed his whole life. It was a personal experience, to be sure. He said that I may know him. Not Peter, not Paul, not John, not Susie or Mary, but he himself would know him. Oh, that we all would want to know Christ. There's a song that our worship team will share with us after this message entitled Reckless Love. And some of the lyrics go like this. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the what? The 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. If the reckless love of God doesn't move you towards developing a godly legacy, well, I don't know what will. Folks, God's extravagant love should compel us all to serve him. You heard the old saying, you're the only Bible some people will read. Whether you like it or not, our lives are on display for all to see. Sometime back, I read where this man said, and I quote, "At my funeral," he says, "I don't want them to say I was a good man, for then I would have failed," he said, "because there's a lot of good people that are going into a Christless eternity. But I want them to say that I was a godly man who loved and served the Lord." End of quote. Like the Apostle Paul, I want to be able to say, I can't speak for anybody in this church here, but I want to be able to say, Brother Jay, I fought a good fight at the end of my time here on earth. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. How about you? I would hope everyone under the sound of my voice would want to leave a godly legacy. Of course, before one can leave a godly legacy, they must know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through his son, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you again, how will your dash look at the end of your journey? Will it include a godly legacy? Well, in conclusion, this summer when Connie and I returned from a short vacation, we learned that one of our neighbors had suddenly died. Folks, that shook me to the core because he was only 47 years young. So I was immediately reminded of the scripture in Psalms 90, verse 12, which says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." I can't speak for anyone in this sanctuary, but as for me, I want to leave a grateful legacy, a giving legacy, and a godly legacy. And so as we wrap this all up, our dash, and some of those dashes are longer than others, aren't they? I pray that each one here under the sound of my voice will have included in that dash a point in which you said yes to Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but there still may be one, two, perhaps three people in this sanctuary that's not in the ark of safety. And yes, we're just a little bit over 24 hours away from a new year. 2018 is going to be history, folks, in a few hours. Have you, in your dash, given your life over to the Lord? Oh, it's plain and simple. You see up on the screen is how you do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me for my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you in Jesus' name. It's just that simple, folks. We make it complicated, but it's just that simple. Won't you do it today if you've never done it? So that in your dash, and if you're seated here, you're going to have a dash. You're going to have a dash. One day you're going to have a dash. That in that dash will be included a point in which you said yes to Jesus Christ our Lord.